WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Academy Awards ceremony is later this month. John Max is one of the comedy writers coming up with material for this year's host, Whoopi Goldberg. He also wrote for Billy Crystal on the last two Academy Award shows. Max writes for The Tonight Show and is the author of a new book called Heaven Talks Back, which spoofs pop inspirational books about religion. I asked him how the writing process works for the Academy Awards.
What we do is there is five or six of us, and we'd meet every day. We'd come in with what Billy would call homework. So we'd come in with 20 or 30 jokes, and Billy would sit down and read them out loud. And, you know, writing for Jay obviously is one thing. When you're writing for Billy, it's a different voice. So it was great because when your main, you know, job is writing for Jay Leno, you've got that voice and that comic style in your head. So when Billy would come in and read our material and put it in his voice and put his spin on it, you start to speak Billy.
Do you try to position all your best jokes toward the beginning of the broadcast? Because I imagine toward the end, jokes are getting thrown out the window because they're short on time.
He's got, besides the opening monologue and the, you know, the film clip and the songs, you know, he introduces different presenters. He's introducing different aspects of the show. He does a few things. But as you move along, people just want to get to the awards. So at hour two and a half, you're really going to find him just coming out and doing a straight introduction. But the one thing you have is what we call the playbook. And it's something that Billy had us put together and has us put together. So the fact that the show is running long is funny in and of itself. Bart the Bear last year, I don't know if you remember, but they had the great thing where they had Bart the Bear, who was, I believe, in the movie The Edge. And Bart came out and introduced an award. Well, the idea of having a giant 11-foot, you know, four-ton bear in the middle of the stage at the Academy Awards, it, besides being kind of really neat theater, is also funny. So as a comedy writer, you're always looking for anarchy. What would have been the best thing for us? We were hoping, of course, that the bear would go nuts and not kill anyone. That would have been the funny story. So we had all these jokes written, and Billy had all these jokes, where if the bear had gone a bit wild, he was ready to deliver those jokes. Fortunately for the show, unfortunately for what we had prepared, the bear was perfect. But like one, Billy had planned to come out and just say, if the bear go nuts, just come out and say, I have some very sad news. It's now and Waterhouse.
Oh, so two bad things went so smoothly, huh?
Exactly that. I mean, you know, he was going to come out at one point and just say, yes, it's true. They do that in the woods. You know, and it's just we had dozens and dozens of bear jokes. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Ernest Borgnine. I mean, you had just all these great jokes that were there. And the bear was calm and did his job professionally, so we just moved on.
Before you became a comic writer, you were a political consultant. What kind of consulting did you do?
I'd started out, I'd always been interested in politics, and I started out in the late 1970s running campaigns, working my way up, and then in 1987 moved to Washington, started doing TV ads for people running for Senate and governor, did some work in the 1988 presidential race, and worked for candidates, Governor Zell Miller of Georgia, Governor Ray Mabus of Mississippi, Senator Howard Metzenbaum, Senator Paul Simon. And ended up, actually, my closest friend is James Carville, and we worked a lot in campaigns together where he would run them, and I would end up doing the TV ads and the strategy for those campaigns.
Did you use any Tonight-style jokes in the TV ads?
People always complain about political ads and how they're all the same, and since you're shooting on a low budget, you really need to come up with something that sets it across. So, for example, in 1989... I was involved in a small way in David Dinkins' race for mayor of New York. And we came up in the primary with an ad against Ed Koch. And the ad essentially started out by just having that old song, You Talk Too Much. And as the song played in the background and the words were in the background, we flashed up different statistics about New York City, which showed that perhaps it was time that Ed Koch moved on to a different job. And using that kind of humor, it gets people's attention. They want to listen. They're not saying, oh, this is just a political ad. And to me, that was, I think, the first genesis. The second was in 1990, Paul Simon, who was a client of mine, a good friend, was doing a gridiron speech. And he said, can you write some jokes for me? I said, well, okay, I'll give it a try. And I wrote some material. And the next day I got a call from Frank Mankiewicz, who was a good friend of Paul's. And he said, you know, you're funny at this. Maybe you ought to try this for a living. Which I wasn't sure was the way of saying I was funny or they wanted me out of politics.
Do the political people who you write jokes for want to make it seem as if they just spontaneously have this great sense of humor and they haven't hired joke writers? Would they prefer that you not take credit for these jokes?
No one's ever said, and that's why as a general rule, I don't go out there and say, oh, I just wrote for Bill Clinton's, you know, gridiron speech or whatever. If someone calls, if the president's office calls or speechwriters call or the vice president and they say, can you help out? Can you contribute some jokes? I'll send them in. There's actually, I'm sure, a team of people also doing that. And I never will go out the next day and say, hey, hear the president's joke? That was mine. That was mine. I just kind of leave it like that because in terms of the boss, as far as I'm concerned, the boss has written all the jokes himself.
Now, how's the delivery of the political people you've written for, like Clinton, Dole, Gore?
Well, to me, I think of the non-professional comics that are out there, to me, I love Dole's delivery. I think he's, because it's very dry, it's very deadpan, he takes the right pauses. I think he really can hit a joke really well. And I've always liked seeing him when he delivers something. I wrote a few things for John F. Kennedy Jr. for a speech he gave once, and I thought he did a great job on that, too.
Now, there's something about your move that seems a little bit backwards. You went from being, I would imagine, a pretty well-compensated political consultant, moving up in the field, I would guess, maybe I'm wrong, to start at the very bottom of, you're writing for the top show, but still, you know, you're a joke writer. So did it seem like you weren't sure if you were moving up or down or what?
Well, it was a gamble in this sense. I mean, in one sense, they're saying when you're coming to the Tonight Show, you're starting off by saying, okay, you've never played baseball before. You're going to pitch in the World Series. So I was lucky enough to start out on the best show with Jay.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I was leaving a career where I was pretty well compensated and where I was established and I had clients and I had, you know, good political connections, as they say. But to me, it really was a no-brainer coming out here. I mean, I had always wanted to write comedy. Even when I was in law school, I would do a little stand-up. I was never very good, but I enjoyed doing it. I always was a fan of comedy. And when someone comes out to me and says, here, you've got a shot right from the start, starting on the top show on TV, you can do this, I was worth the gamble.
Give us a sense of how the monologue is written, how the writers submit their work, how it's actually put together in a monologue.
You know, from my perspective, you know, people always get the image of comedy writers. I think all of us have the image from the Dick Van Dyke Show. You know, and you see, you know, Sally and Buddy and Dick Van Dyke sitting in the back room and Mel Cooley comes in and then Alan Brady's coming in and they're talking about it and they're fighting. But that's really writing, if you look at it, that was writing for a variety show. From the monologue perspective, it's really pretty much the writers, you know, in our rooms. You know, I sit down with my USA Today, I've got the TV on and writing down my topics and writing jokes and then turning them into Jay. And Jay's taking the jokes from everyone. He's writing his own, and then he's putting it together. He and Jimmy Brogan, who's, I guess, the vice president of the monologue in the sense of Jay's friend and obviously his top person in terms of putting together, they really put it together in a room by themselves. So I don't ever know what I've written, whether it's going to get in. A lot of times I'll hear a premise that I've submitted that's worded exactly as I've written it, but it's a totally different punchline, meaning Jay saw it, liked the idea, thought of something funnier, put it in.
What happens if a joke of yours bombs? What are some of the things that Jay Leno has said as they bombed? You know, little asides that he's made. And what would he say to you after?
He's never said anything to anyone after, ever. The great thing about The Tonight Show and The Monologue is I think we've done something like 1,550 shows. Jay's done like 1,550 shows. And it's, you know, it's in the can, you tape for the hour, it's done, it's on the air that night, you move on to the next one. And I don't think there's ever been any looking back, there's never been a, hey, John, that really didn't work, or anything like that. I think he just moves on, you know, it's just because it's a topical monologue, you're always looking ahead. And I like that. It's, you know, the joke's done. That's why a lot of people say, well, what's your favorite joke? To be honest, Terry, a lot of times, once they're written, I just kind of put them out of my mind, because you're always working on what's new for the next day.
Does he give you any instructions at the beginning of the day of the kind of material he'd like or the kind of subjects he'd like used?
No. It's a great creative atmosphere because you just sit there and write the things that strike you as funny. And we don't write, at least from my perspective, I mean, I don't write saying, gee, I think that people will think this is funny. To me, if it makes me laugh as I'm typing it, I enjoy it. A lot of those never make the air. I write, I guess, personally about 100 jokes a day. So figure in a good day, if Jay uses one or two of mine, I'm thrilled.
That's a lot of jokes.
It's a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
Rejected 98. On a good day, I'm rejected 98% of the time.
So where do all the dead jokes go?
Recycling.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of them? Do you test them out on your... Do you go home at night and say, hey, this is the one Jay didn't like, but it's funny. Isn't it? Laugh. Come on, laugh. It's funny.
No, I really tend to look forward. It's when I say it goes into recycling, once it's done, it's not used. It's in the trash can. I mean, the concept may stay with me a little bit. I might try it a slightly different spin next time. But it's like, you know, okay, today, you know, or this week right now, I'm reading that, you know, the movie's out today. Like, Monday every day, you come out with what movies there are. So what are the top movies of the week? Well, it's Payback, and it's 8mm, and it's Message in a Bottle. So it's, gee, can I come up with something funny with any of those movies? And if it doesn't work, well, there's going to be a new number one movie next week.
Well, John Max, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
John Max writes for The Tonight Show and is the author of the new book, Heaven Talks Back, a spoof of pop books about religion. This is Fresh Air.